Father, we come before you, Lord God, this day as your people, Father. Lord, we come before you, Father, as a grateful people, Father, because you've saved us, Father. You've called us according to your name, Lord, and you've given us a hope and a future, Lord, in a world, Lord God, that's incredibly hopeless, Lord, and has no future. So, Father, we thank you, Father, this morning. For Jesus, we thank you for the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for the way that you take care of and you watch over your people. And Lord, right now, Father, we as a group of followers of you, Lord God, we as your lambs, Lord, as your people, as your children, Father, we call out to you, Father God, on behalf of what's taking place in this nation and on behalf of what's happening, Lord, to many innocents, Father, many that don't know you, Lord God, even now. Lord, we pray, Father, for the situation in this nation, Lord, that you would spare lives, Father God. Lord, that you would bring a miraculous stop, Lord God, to what's taking place right now. And Father, spare the innocents, Lord God. Spare children, Lord God. Spare those that are stuck in a very bad situation, Lord. Lord, open up the doors, Father, for medicines and food and aid, Lord God, to reach those people. And Father, we pray, Lord, for your protection, Lord God, over those that intend good, Lord God, to the people of this nation, Father. We pray that you would protect them and shield them, Lord, so they can do that work, and that you'd open up every avenue for that. And Lord, right now, Father, Lord, as your people, we come before you, Father, also just thanking you that we can not be anxious about anything, Lord, but with prayer and supplication make our requests known to you. So Lord, we leave every stress, every strain, Lord God, every concern, every care at your feet, Lord, this morning. And Lord, we ask, Father, for your lordship, your rule, the rest of your Holy Spirit, Father, in each and every one of our lives. Lord, right now, I completely yield to the free flow of your Spirit in and through me, acknowledging openly that that's the only good thing in me, Lord, is your Spirit. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, and I yield to that. And Lord, as we go forward in Jesus' name, binding every demonic force and every spirit of the devil in and around this place and casting it out, Father. In Jesus' name we go on. Amen. 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 So let it be. Amen. Amen. Revelation. I'm not going to get into something really deep in Revelation today, but I'm going to touch on something. All right? Sorry. Because, you know, sometimes when we open Revelation, people get scared, and there's all kinds of teachings we've had before, yeah? So, sometimes with Revelation, people get very scared. But there's, you know, actually something about the entire Bible, the entire scriptures, is it's a living document. So the entire scripture, here's one thing that happens. When you and I are connected to Christ Jesus, the source of life, yeah? Okay, this fan right here, when it first came to this place, it was not connected. It was not plugged into any source of power. So the fan itself had to at some point be plugged into the source of power for it to be activated to do what it was designed to do and what it was made to do. So likewise, human beings, either you have those that are plugged in to the Spirit of God and to the power of God, or you have those that are detached and stuck in the world, and they're either dead or they're on some other voltage or something, but they're not working right. They're not working properly. Yeah. So John 15, Jesus talks about, you know, I am the vine, you're the branches. Basically, if a man remains in me, my words remain in him, you know, you'll bear fruit, that you're plugged into the source. So it's a spiritual allegiance to the kingdom of God, the dominion of Christ Jesus. So it's not necessarily where you go or who you know or anything else like that. It's a spiritual connection on another level that you cannot see with your natural eyes, but on that level all things happen, and that's the level of reality. So now take that larger understanding, and then you see your life when you are plugged in to the Spirit of God. When you're in connection with the Spirit of God, you can go outside, a bird can sing, and God can speak to you through that bird's song. You will look up in the sky and see the clouds, and God will speak to you. You will hear the wind in the trees, and God will speak to you. Where there are those in the world that even if God speaks in an audible voice, they still can't hear Him. That's literally in the scriptures. You remember where Jesus, where there was a voice that came from heaven when Jesus was walking there and said that this is my son, whom I'm well pleased. And said some people said, oh, that was thunder. And other people heard the voice of God. So even then, there are people when God even speaks in an audible voice, because they're not plugged into the source, they cannot hear what God is saying. They cannot hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Even if God says, hey, over here. So you're living in a world like that. You're living in a world where the majority, the vast majority of what you're surrounded by cannot and does not hear the voice of the Spirit of God. So they think like worlders. They think like people that whose allegiance is set to the system of this world under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air, Satan, worker of iniquity, all that stuff. Yes. Now back to the scriptures. The thing about the scriptures is, see, this scriptures themselves is a spiritual document, but apart from the Spirit of God, you can't understand or make sense of it. So for example, there are many scholars in institutions around the world that have sat down and read this Bible 1,000 times, gone through it so many times, they know every intricacy of all the verses, and yet they've never once heard the voice of the Spirit of God in it. You know, that's in the scriptures too. I'm taking a commercial break real quick before I even get into this. Go to John chapter 5. And even in John chapter 5, it says in verse 37, All right, verse 36 says, "But Jesus speaking, I have greater witness than that of John, for the work which the Father has given me to finish, the same work that I do, bear witness of him, of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." And verse 39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and yet, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." So Jesus was speaking to a group of people at that time who were the Pharisees themselves had, these people could go in and out of every verse of anything inside the old covenant that was there, the scriptures of their day. They had studied them so much, and yet Jesus in verse 37 says that they had never once heard the voice of God. They had literally given their lives over to the study of scriptures and devotion to the stuff in the temple and teaching and all of that, and yet never once had they heard the voice of God ever in all of their years of life on this planet. Do you remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" What did they say? Besides crucify him. They said, "We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar." And if you go back to Luke chapter 4, and you see when Jesus was offered the kingdoms of the world, who was offering him that spot, and what was it exchanged for? Now ultimately God owns the whole thing, as Psalm 24 tells us, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So we know that the whole thing is God's, but God is allowing for this entire play to play out. It was Psalm 24 verse 1. But it just says that God's... But one thing is that you see even there that the positions in the world system are depending on somebody's willful submission. Because what does the devil come to do? John 10 verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Right? So in the world and the world system, the people that are promoted in the world and the world system by the Luciferic system are the people that do the best job at robbing, stealing, and destroying, killing and destroying. Because if they didn't, if they did a great job doing something else, then they would not be given high position in that kingdom. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So if you were a good bad devil, if you were a good bad devil, if you did your job as a devil very well, the people that you would put up, the higher places, the highest rank, the number one big shots would be the biggest sellouts to robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying that you could find. Now you wouldn't, if you were Satan too, you wouldn't give them horns and a pitchfork so that everybody knew what they were. You would polish them up. So when Jesus was talking to, in his day, the Pharisees, he said, look, you guys are like whitewashed sepulchers. Outside you're nice, white paint, clean looking, but inside you're full of all greed, corruption, dead men's bones, right? That's what's inside of you. So, and now here's the thing. When we go into eternity, what is inside of you will become what is outside of you for all eternity, if that makes sense. Who you are inside will become who you are visibly for all eternity. See, right now you and I live in a shell that allows us to move around on this planet. So if somebody goes to the moon, they need a moon suit. They need a suit to move around on the moon. If they don't have a moon suit, they die. If somebody goes deep sea diving, really deep, not just the little, 1 meter, 2 meter, 10 meter, but somebody goes really deep, they have to have a shell around them because that's, otherwise they'll die from the pressure. So right now the body you're living in, this is your earth suit. But when we pass on from this life, when this body stops, when this suit that you're in finishes its use, then the real you, which is inside your soul and your spirit, goes on for all eternity. And either that soul is plugged in to the source of life or it's not. Either that soul has been redeemed and is growing in connection with the Spirit of God, washed clean and shining bright like the stars in the sky. Or it is rotting and broken off and something to be thrown away and discarded because it's nothing but irredeemable trash for all eternity. And that is what is known for all eternity. So the real you, the real people, whoever people really are, in a very short period of time when we pass from this life to the next, that real person is made manifest. That real person is known. So now, here's one thing. Back to this whole thing about the scripture. When you are plugged into the source of life, when there is that connection between you and the Spirit of God, no separation between you and the Father because of Christ Jesus. When you and I read the words themselves become life and alive to you. So if I open the scriptures as the Spirit of God is leading me and showing me, even just now, this last 5 minutes, how many things wove together, those aren't in my notes. Those are all the Spirit of God saying, here, 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 pieces coming together. Because the Word is alive. So you can read in the Scripture, and what happens is, because this is a spiritual document in that God used people that He, by His orchestration, to put this whole thing together. But it needs to be brought to life by the Spirit of God in you that allows you to see what's there. And if that doesn't happen, then it's just a reading exercise, and you might as well be reading the newspaper, or you might as well be reading the comics, or you might as well be reading the telephone book. It'll all make as much sense. So, but when you have the Spirit of God, one thing that happens is when we open the Word, these different pieces, they start coming together and everything becomes alive. God will show you. Okay, all that said, let's go back to Revelation. Chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had had the place prepared of God, that she should feed there, so that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in the heavens. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He hath cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Full chapter. Somebody want to read the full chapter? Okay, so lots of angels and dragons and floods and earthquakes and all kinds of things happening in this, yeah? Now, again, because the scriptures are a living document, it's a breathing document, it has life in it. So there's so many different levels that God speaks out of even something like this. Also, because Christ is what was, what is to come, is also in Him as well. Okay, so, alright, I'll give you an example. You can take this on a very surface level. Where you can just say, okay, you have a very angry devil. You have a very angry, very mad devil running around. You can also take it the fact that his time is short and he knows his time is short, so what anything in the scope of eternity, any limitation there at all, you have a short time, whatever it might be. And then there's other levels that you can go into this, all the way going back to, all right, for example, verse 1, where it said, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head 12 stars, and she being with child, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. Okay. Sorry, go ahead. Just the first couple of verses. Do you remember when the Magi came to see Jesus? The kings. Three. There weren't three kings, but they called They weren't three kings. They brought three gifts, but there was a bunch of them that came. Now these guys that showed up, they said, we saw his star in the sky and we came to worship him. Not the shepherds. This was the Magi. They came 2 years later. Yeah, they came 2 years later. Because you remember when Herod killed all the children, he killed everybody 2 years and less. So it took them 2 years to travel. Now, how did they recognize that something was going on in the stars and then know that that means something's happening right now here on Earth? Did they just look up and there's a flashing one that says, Jesus over here, Jesus over here, Jesus? No, in fact, you know something, you go all the way back to Daniel, okay, you know everybody talks about astrology, yes? Astrology. Okay, now what Lucifer does is he takes something that God has done and he perverts it. He perverts, he twists it, he turns it, right? But even now, in the stars, everything is written. And there is an element even in everything that's taking place where even when these guys were looking up into the heavens, they were able to see the formulation of constellations and stars going to different places. The virgin was with child and she moved to this place over here. Even this talks about a formulation of constellations in the stars in the heavens. And when they realized what was going on, they said, oh my gosh, and there's his star right there. And that means he's going to be born over here. Let's start traveling. And they started traveling, and they traveled, and they got there 2 years after, because they knew what was coming together. So even there, even in stars in the sky, God has laid out the mystery of God for anybody that would just stop, put their feet down, look up, and say, oh my gosh, if they had eyes to see. And it can be something as complex as here's what's happening and here's where it's going to happen and all of that, to something as simple as, Abraham, take a look up. Your descendants will be, as if you can number the stars in the sky, you can tell me how many people are going to come from you. So you know what? It's fascinating to me when you see, because God, on a very surface level, it's so simple, and then when you dig in, you can see how complex that His creation and the mystery of God that's being unfolded. So you pluck a leaf and you look at a leaf and you're like, oh wow, look at this pretty leaf. But if you put that same leaf under a microscope and you look at it and you see the cell structures and you see all that goes into that thing being what it is, it's mind-blowing. So then, now I take a step back from what's mind-blowing and I come to the realization, wait, God knows everything that's happening. Nothing is a surprise here. I can read a passage like this and I can see that in verse 5, she brought forth a man-child who has ruled the nation, rod of iron. Verse 4, I'm sorry. And the tail drew the third part of heaven. Dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And right there, something about the modern day abortion industry that's global, where everybody is standing around waiting for unborn children, and you have literally serpents and dragons waiting there to devour these children that are being born all over the world. A character and an attribute that is something that's very satanic innate. That's where the source is. I see it right there. But as you go through something like this, there is one thing that I keep seeing and resonates with me even this day, is that there is a demonic stirring that continues to take place as the power of the enemy goes from one frustration to the next, as the plan of God continues to manifest and work itself out in the earth. So even back to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, where Jesus was crucified, they're like, oh, if they knew what they were going to actually end up doing to themselves, they wouldn't have crucified Him. When the early church was persecuted and scattered, and then it went and filled the whole earth with the teaching of the gospel, and people understood and they were being saved, they would have probably left them alone, but if they would have known, but every time they did something, it worked against them. So as God, see, God being all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere, all the time. And though the devil has power, his kingdom is limited. And because he has no life in and of himself, he has to try to steal it from you and from anyone who is a follower of Christ that's connected to the source, because you have life. You know the devil can't create, he can only twist. He can't create anything. There's no life in anything that he is or about. The only thing that he and the followers that he has can do is twist something that has creative life and source from God himself. He can only pervert it. So back to the whole astrology thing. Now, that thing is pretty much gone. The pure form that was there, it doesn't exist anymore to my knowledge. Not that I know of. Now what you have is a bunch of stargazers trying to figure out what's the best time for their daughter to get married and what's the best time to go do a business deal. Now, the reason they do that is because there is something in it. There is something there, but anything detached from the Spirit of God, from the truth of the Word, from the life of the Gospel, it leads to death and to corruption. So anything done detached from the Spirit of God, disconnected from the Spirit of God, it only leads to death and corruption. So the business will fail. The daughter will get married at the wrong time to the wrong guy. And then afterwards, there's another. They keep checking. You know, I had a friend tell me one time, you know the definition of insanity? The definition of insanity. How to define insanity. Somebody's crazy. To continually do the same thing and expect at some point you'll get a different result. But the world continues to do that. But you know something that happens for us. When you and I come into Christ, what happens is we shift out of all of that stuff into life eternal. We become eternal beings. And what happens when you become an eternal being, like John chapter 3, now you're just led by the Spirit, as the Spirit of God would take you wherever He would take you. God provides for you. He watches over you. He leads you. And we don't have to worry about all the things the world worries about, because we have a source and a connection that is clean, it's eternal. Now, right now, we're in time, yes, but you're in time as an eternal being, just like Christ Jesus. You're in time, you're in time in this world, because the world is in a time thing, but you're an eternal being. And just like Jesus, there was a timing, an incredible divine timing to His life, to everything that He did, for every moment He was on the earth. In not one moment of time while He was here, was He out of position with the Father, or not exactly in step with where God had for Him to be. Every second of His life was something that was beautiful and in accordance with the plan and the revealed will of God. And many things people didn't understand until well after it was finished and done, that, oh my gosh, that's what was going on. So when they put Jesus on the donkey to take Him into Jerusalem, later on, oh my goodness, they're reading in the scriptures. He comes on the colt, on the foal of an ass, He's coming in. Oh wow! Jesus on the cross, and on the cross, because there's still one scripture to be fulfilled, He says, I thirst, and they gave Him the bitter gall to drink in Psalms. You know, likewise, you and I now live lives like that. Did you know that? That you and I live lives at that, when you and I are plugged in to Christ Jesus and we are in Him and His words remain in us, that we live lives like that? Where everything that you do in connection with the Spirit of God as unto Him is something that is a blessing and has eternal value. So we now live in an amazing time. And Jesus had down times. There was 18 years where you didn't hear much from Him at all. You know, from age 12 to age 30, it was very quiet. And it just says that He just grew in stature and in favor with both God and men. That's about all it says about Him then. But there is that amazing connection and in step with God that He was throughout, and likewise for us, we are in the same. So there's a war going on in the heavenlies, there's a war going on in the natural now, manifest in the natural. And you and I have a role as ambassadors of Christ, as ministers of the gospel, as people filled and empowered by the Spirit of God. We have a role to play in what's happening now. As we wait on the Lord, He renews our strength. He leads and guides us into all truth. And then He directs you and shows you, Nelson, this is what for you to do next. Sandra, this is for you. Stella, this is for you. This is Sriani. This is the next step. This is now the I have this for you. I'm entrusting you with this assignment because this has divine, eternal value and purpose and is part of the mystery of God that's being unfolded right now. So know your role and the responsibilities God also is putting in your hand and in your heart for what is taking place even now. That's something to bring to Him in prayer and be in connection with Him on that point. And our time goes very fast in the morning, so I have to stop.